You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
I am Major 7th. The crew is in the building. Starting off with my man, Jay Moore. How are you, good brother?
Doing well. Peace, freedom, and reparations, and stay warm.
Especially that stay warm.
Yeah, if you're in the Midwest, please stay warm.
Yeah, that hawk out there right now.
Boy, is it.
In the driver's seat, my man, DJ J. Dib. What's happening, man?
Salutations. What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I can't call it. Trying to stay out this hawk, bro.
Well, I'm in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You have no choice.
Yeah, I work in it, so, yeah.
Yeah, we gonna pray for you because you know it get bad out there.
OT.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's that time.
You get some hazard pay on that? I mean, you know, they looking out for you?
I mean, I make a pretty good living.
Okay, all right. That's all you got to say, brother. That's all you got to say.
But yeah, we stay out of grown folk business on this show.
It's cold out there, Jay.
Yeah. Got special guest. Well, he ain't a guest. I always make that mistake, man. You family, bro. DJ extraordinaire, philanthropist, positive role model.
Yeah. The first man is to make Kool-Aid Man say, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Moonlights as an R&B DJ sometimes.
Damn. Moonlights. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, he get to the bag, so, you know, it just shows versatility if you ask me.
Okay.
Specifically an R&B DJ.
Yeah, I was about to say, R&B DJ.
That different crowd. My man, brother, to the night. How are you, sir?
Salutations. Greetings. How's everyone doing today?
What's up with everybody stunned with these coats, man? Terry was showing out last week with the Michigan Letterman joint. Now you popping up with the Super Bowl patch. Like, what's going on out here,
man? I was inspired by him watching last week's show. So yeah. I was like, yeah, I got to pull out the varsity this week.
That mug was fresh, though, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Very clean. Very clean.
Thank you. Thank you. See, I was inspired by Carmelo Anthony, okay. Him and Mero's podcast. Uh-huh. Man, Melo has on a cold jacket coat. Every episode.
Brother, don't miss.
I'm like, man, where is he getting all this from? And I'm, of course, I can't keep up with him.
No.
But I was like,
his budget different.
I'm going to take a little play out of his playbook and
You know, you've stepped on here with some nice items, you know.
Yeah, like, I appreciate it.
You know, especially when you had that Adidas situation going on.
Man.
Yeah.
That's back when I used to get mad when he had that because it was just consistent, just fire over and over and over. And I was a little frustrated, but I changed, Aiden. So I don't do that no more. Yeah, I don't do that
exclusives.
No more. Yeah, I don't do that no more.
No, you know what's funny? It was when, of course, we did those two shows in one day.
Oh, man.
And it was, you know, of course, I go over the comments, and you were saying something. I think it was a clip where it was just you, and somebody's like, man, that jersey is fire.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
They ain't even peeped the magic trick, Jay Moore, but that's cool, though. That's cool, though. I take it. The jersey was fire.
You know,
my question I always ask, you know, what came across your desk for this first 30 minutes? If you saw anything tickled your fancy. You know what I'm saying? I know you, me and you already talked about one, man.
Yeah.
Tell them how you feel, son.
All right. So it was something that I got off of the Joe Budden pod. It was Benny and Elliot Wilson were there, and they were talking about, like, people critiquing music. And I guess the question was, like, do you have to actually be an artist to be able to critique, to give an honest critique on music?
No, I wouldn't think so.
No.
Yeah. Like,
y'all said no fast.
As consumers, I don't think, because that's part of it, what it is. Consumers.
Is it fair to say
you don't have to be
that
artists to understand what we do not want to buy and use it in our spare time with?
That's who's purchasing the music.
Yeah.
It is the consumers purchase the music. I get that part. But is it fair to say that the critique may be, of course, it's going to be different coming from another creative, right? That doesn't necessarily make it more valuable, but I guess that's also subjective as to how you want to receive it, because I definitely understand or want to know what fans feel like when they hear music. That's very important.
You'll get that instantly, though.
Mm-hmm.
But another creative telling me, like, going through my project, it's going to hit different. For me as a creative, it's going to hit different. You see what I'm saying?
You got to take that with a grain of salt, too, though.
You do.
Because some of that
fair.
Could just be hate.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, like, if they're, you know, that's a slippery slope,
right?
I mean,
right.
Creative criticism and hate,
because everything is not hate.
It's not
in this era. It seems to come off as hate. We hear a lot. Anytime somebody gives their opinion on something, 9 times out of 10, the comments are going to say, "Oh, you just hating." Just go through the comments and look on IG, look on whatever. Whenever somebody gives their opinion, more than likely, there's going to be somebody down there that says, "Oh, he just hating or she hating." in this era, the era that we in now.
Now, there can be an element of hate. Like, you know, say, you know, back in 05, 06, Ja Rule just came out with a song that was incredible. I don't expect 50 Cent to say anything particularly nice about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to understand what some of this criticism is peppered with. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. 90% of the songs I have to listen to on Friday and Saturday night, I don't like, but I understand why they work. Well, so you have to, you know, I would just, that's my advice to artists out there. You have to approach this a different way and have a different expectation as far as how people are going to digest your art.
Let's take it to the chat real quick, because Lone, it looks like Lone is coming along my side. He says, well, I'm on his side, actually. Artist critiques always are more valuable than a consumer. Sorry, not sorry. That's what I was alluding to when I said it's just going to hit different.
Well, yeah, if you're a rapper, but just imagine if you just somebody up there catching a stray because, you know, an artist who has legendary status is feeling some kind of way.
Right.
As opposed to just some dude on the street or four dudes that got a podcast.
Well, I think that the thing is, you have to be... If you don't like it, you got to tell me what you don't like about it. You know what I mean? Like, what is it that really turns you off from the situation? Or is it you just don't like it just because? I think artists, most times, they can give you a reason why they are not a fan of said record, or maybe this bar could have been different, or the vocals need to be turned up here. Mm-hmm. I think you're more likely to get that type of feedback from an artist or someone like a journalist or something, somebody that's actually been in the field and listened to it long enough. Consumers more or less are going to tell you, yeah, I like that song. No, I don't like that song. They're not going to be able to really tell you why most times.
You know what, though? There are consumers, though. There's always, you know, what's the cliche term? Exception to the rule, right?
Yeah.
I do know some people that are just consumers that can sit down and talk that talk with me as it relates to even technicalities of the music. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some out there that care enough to actually have that conversation, but most of the time, it's what you talked about.
Mm-hmm. Above average.
Yeah, but yeah, right. But there are some that can sit in the paint and be like, yeah, so I love it, man. I don't know about the mix. Mm-hmm. And it won't even be an artist or nothing. It's just they listen to music enough to know some don't sound right. Mm-hmm. And me, I got to look at you in the face and be like, well,
that's one of the things I learned from work on the mix. Is like, now I listen to the more technical aspects of things, mm-hmm. as far as like the mix, or like, I'll even, you know, we had the conversation about people not rapping in the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, now I can definitely already hear people who are rapping off beat, and that drives me crazy.
But now
it's just like when people are, you know, and maybe they'll be like, oh, that's my style. I'll be like, yeah, but your style is like off beat and out of pocket. It reminds me of like the time when somebody asked DMX, God bless the dead, about Drake. And DMX was like, I don't like his face. I don't like nothing about him. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that was a DMX answer too, though.
Facts. Yeah. Yeah. So like, that's different. You know, sometimes it just comes from a place of like, I don't like the way I don't like where this person is coming from. I don't like it.
Bro, I got a loan.
Yeah, it just is what it is.
I got a loan story real quick.
You got a loan story real quick?
Loan. I see what you tried to do. Right, see? So I was working on a record with, shout out to my homie P-Sake. We dropped a project called Crown probably 3 years ago, which is crazy to me. And I always play records for Lone. Lone is one of the few people in the world that I will play rough drafts for when it's time to analyze it. Mm-hmm. He does the same thing every time. He's going to tell me if he likes it, yes or no. But I know his ears are doing exactly what you said. I changed the hi-hats. He told me they were too high. He told me they were too high on three separate occasions. Mm-hmm. Before we put the album out for mixing and mastering, and when it came back and the project came out, he says they're still a little high, but they're closer to where they were. I wanted you to get them. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth time,
right?
So yes, he definitely listens, and he's just one of those people. And you know, when you've done it for so long, it's just you can't turn that off. You know, and that's me just going to him. And I swear it was three or four times where he's like, "It's almost there, still too high."
I mean, I get that, like. DJing when you out,
yeah,
it's hard to turn that DJ, you know, ear off.
Absolutely,
yeah. You know what I mean? Because like, oh no, that came in. He ain't count that in right. Something you,
yeah,
you
I do the same
hear
thing.
That. Yeah, you're gonna hear that all the time.
Is it harder for y'all? Because y'all being DJs, Jay Moore, you in the club as well. Is it harder for y'all? Because it's hard for me to turn the producer ear off.
Is it hard for y'all to turn it off as well? Absolutely. Like I can't. Even if my set sounds decent to the common individual, mm-hmm. to me is bugging me. Like, I might have did something that I didn't like. Yeah. I might have just did one thing that I didn't like, and now I don't like my whole set.
Yeah, for the whole night.
For the whole, yeah, the whole I'm night. Just like, that one thing threw me off, and like, messed up the I can whole still night. I can still be in the pocket to somebody else.
What you was trying to do,
and yeah. I was like, man, I'm gonna set up. Yep. That didn't work right, and it'll be bothering
yo,
me.
That's
and
crazy.
Eating at me the whole time. So yeah, I mean, the difference between an artist critique and I say the common folk is sometimes I think the artist is a little too hard because like judging somebody else and thinking they should have did it like this.
You should have did it like me.
Yeah.
Or the way I wanted you to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You right. know what I'm saying? Right. As opposed to somebody that doesn't listen to music, that isn't a DJ or an yeah. artist, but can still critique in a certain way. You know what I'm saying? And you got to respect that because yeah. we're our own worst critic at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna be harder on me. I'm gonna be harder on my guys.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna be on somebody I might not even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
My expectations level is higher,
right? Because I feel like we better than everybody in a right. sense.
No, you know? You're right.
So,
you're right.
So it's like we're harder on each other than we would be on somebody else. And I kind of feel like a critique is kind of the same way as far as somebody on the outside looking in. Just like a lot of the sportscasters didn't. They might have played sports at one point in time. But a lot of them didn't make it to that the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
Some played college, some played high school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But these are the commentators that people look to give their opinions. Now, there's some whose personality you might not like.
Right.
But you can't take anything away from them. They're sports ID, so to speak.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Or IQ.
IQ, yeah.
So to speak. So, I mean, I don't know. I can kind of see it both ways as far as believing an artist over an individual and an individual over an artist. And
let's talk about old Drizzy and Yasiin Bey. It's been a lot of emotions
speaking
out
of
here.
Not having to have any criminality man, about yourself.
It's a lot. It's a lot of emotions and a lot of emotional people out here on this internet, man. I've backed into a few conversations about this. I had to get out. People telling me I'm tripping. Mike, I'm normally with you. When Yasiin said that he's a pop star, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
It's not. Two things can be true,
and so many people are offended because I believe they want Drake to be perceived as something that he is not. And there's nothing wrong with fam being one of the biggest crossover pop/rap, whatever you want to call it. But this thing has really got people emotional out here, bro. And then Drake shared a video where he said it was on his stories. And it was a video of Method Man talking about how he describes what hip hop is. And he says, and Drake's caption is, "What Umi say again? ? Let me shine my light, King. Don't change up now." So he's trying to troll. He's so emotional.
I love Drake for the level of petty.
Oh, he's very petty. He's super emotional, but he's petty. But Method Man was talking about hip hop is graffiti and art and being able to perform and lyrics and rhymes and all this type of stuff. So he's basically trolling him, saying it's deeper than that. But how do y'all feel about people being so emotional, one, about him just saying that, and then Drake being this petty on the response?
I mean, why would you be mad? This is the thing, like we talk about Drake, we take jabs at Drake. I mean, we've literally said what Yasiin Bey said on the first episode we ever shot.
Say that again?
We said what Yasiin Bey said about Drake on the first episode we just ever shot. So,
thank you.
I mean, it's nothing new. As far as Drake's response, I can't be mad at his response. Somebody's taking shots at him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's an emotional response. It's more so, I see you. You know what I'm saying? He didn't really give him a whole. He gave him a clip of Method Man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not him being emotional, in my personal opinion. And Drake is a very emotional artist.
Be clear.
But I don't think his response was that emotional, man. I think him sharing Method Man classifying with what hip hop is.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily speak to what his version of hip hop is. It did at one point in time. But I mean, his whole situation has evolved even since the last time we talked about it way back in the day.
And from an emotional standpoint, even if, because matter of fact, I see what you're saying in terms of his actual response. I'm so used to Drake being quote unquote, we talk about being emotional, like you said. But the comments that the super emotional part is the grown men in the comments mad about him being called pop. That's the real part that's emotional.
So I'm in a couple hip hop groups on Facebook, and the responses people was giving because he said that he was pop. It's almost like you're trying to excuse yourself or make excuses for yourself for being such a Drake stan, that him saying that it's pop music, you feel a certain type of way because Drake is your favorite rapper,
right,
so to speak.
Right.
And he's saying that he's pop. I mean, if that's your guy, then ride with him. You know what I'm saying? At one point in time, Michael Jackson was R&B. Well, I mean, he was the king of R&B, and they called him the king of pop.
True.
And then people didn't stop rocking with him because he was a king of pop. Mm-hmm. That was a good thing. Mm-hmm. So you can say Drake is the king of pop, or he's a pop star, not a rap star. And you can take it either way you want to take it, because it's not necessarily a negative connotation. It's just for the people that think that Drake is hard. I can't really say he's hard. He's a good artist. You know what I'm saying? He does make good. He makes his rap songs when he needs to.
Right.
But for the most part, he is a pop artist.
We're a show that has always never run from the fact that Drake is dope and that he's nice.
Yes.
I think that's pretty fair and safe to say that nobody on this panel has ever been like, Drake can't rap. Drake is trash. I've never said that.
Nah.
But
I've trashed his individual projects.
But that's just
for sounding the same. The only thing I've ever said negative about Drake's whole pop situation is dropping the same album like 3 times in a row.
Exactly.
And people standing it. Now, that type of stuff I don't agree with. He always got some hits on there, though. You got to play him.
He is a pop star.
There you go.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
What the thing is, I think that's what he always set out to be.
There you go. Mm.
You know what I mean? Because
That's real.
You know, he gave us Comeback Season.
Mm.
And then he gave us So Far Gone.
Which was fire.
And it was fire. But even on So Far Gone, he was touching everything.
Mm. Yeah, because he was in
Let's call the whole thing off. That was on there.
Yes. You know he was in his Kanye bag at that point.
Exactly.
If we want to be technical about it, Kanye is a pop star.
He is.
At the end of the day.
He is.
He's not. Kanye got too much.
Kanye is definitely a pop star.
He's a pop star, Jay.
He started crossing over into that pop star lane when he gave you 808s.
But it's meat and potatoes for his hip hop. His hip hop part of that is way, to me, it's way more hip hop than Drake.
But you haven't liked Kanye in how long?
Since My Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Since he became a pop star.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. Go ahead, Jay Moore. I see what he did there. He got me.
Gospel.
Well, you know, the thing I really kind of took from Drake's post is that, okay.
Dang, Jerry, you got me, man.
It really was a thing, man, to where if you know about what Drake comes from and who he is admired and who he's emulated,
yeah,
then Mos Def is quite possibly one of his heroes,
mm-hmm,
you know? And so for one of your heroes to get on here and I don't know if it was just the tone, it was just the way
the target part was funny.
It, you know, for one of your heroes to come on and in a way denigrate what you've accomplished and use pop as a dirty word.
Yeah.
You know, and say, oh, it's like something I'd hear at Target. Or I was like,
I mean, I laughed when he said Target.
I get what he's saying, I was like, you're discounting a large part of his discography and a lot of the things that he said.
He was being a little extra.
I don't think so.
I know.
You don't think he was being extra?
I can hear a Drake song at Target. It makes sense.
100%.
Yeah. You know, but at the same time.
I heard Passion Fruit at Gap and I was going.
Why you say Passion Fruit like that?
It's a pop song.
Listen, hey, the first place I ever heard Jill Scott's One is the Magic Number was at Old Navy when I used to work there. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is Jill Scott playing in Old Navy. But she's not a pop star.
Well, you just never know who's programming the situation.
Sometimes they got some good cats that know how to put together a playlist.
Because if you come into one of the establishments I work, like I said, no free advertisements, even though they're paying me, but they're not paying us. You know what I'm saying?
Be careful now.
There's people who come in and be like, wow, there's a lot of Dilla and Tribe Called Quest, and it goes to New Edition, and then it goes to this and that. You think there's somebody really cool programming the music in this restaurant. I was like, there is somebody very cool programming.
Talk to
them. So you just never know. There might be somebody who is, you never know. You might mess around and hear some Mos Def in Target too. Listen. Don't act like it's not possible.
If I was an artist, I would want my stuff to be playing in a Target while somebody is shopping, because you might go over to the music section and purchase my ish. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't gonna hold you. That wouldn't bother me at all as a creator.
Wouldn't bother me.
It'd be like, to have my mama say, boy, I heard your music in Target today. I'd be like, mama, that's great.
I think what most was alluding to, though, was like the subject matter.
Safe.
Because Well, nah, because like a lot of his music, a lot of his music promotes consumerism. You know what I mean? He's naming all of these labels that he purchased. He's naming all the dopest restaurants.
Target.
You can't buy it at Target.
No. Or he's calling us broke because we staying at the Sheraton.
Yeah. You know what
or whatever,
saying?
Or the Dollar Tree or whatever.
And then he gonna have like 12 songs where he's talking about a girl going through his phone.
Where'd I take you?
Yeah.
I took you to this restaurant. I did this. You know what I mean? I bought you this.
Mm-hmm. To Terry's argument, we know the formula, right? And this is a successful formula. The boy done sold, I don't care what you say, the
he's
boy moved
every time he dropped.
Every single time. So I get it, man. I don't think it's a bad thing.
How much you believe about that, though?
What you mean?
We'll be back after a quick break.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man. I'm trying to get them on there. Look, we all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Like, you don't believe, like, when they come out with some of these astrological numbers sometimes, I'm like, man, there's no way.
I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I think there's a section of artists that are going to move units no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's another section of artists where the okie doke is in play. I think there's two sides. I'm talking about on the mainstream. Taylor Swift going to move units. I don't care what's going on.
She got like 4 albums in the top 10 right now.
That's what I'm saying.
She got albums that she's re-recorded.
Yeah,
bro.
Like that's the crazy thing.
Adele is going to move
Taylor's
units.
Version, rather.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy to see how her records move,
bro. Adele is going to move units, and I don't need no okie doke for that. Now there are some artists where I think
you don't think this could be a little bit added, a little sauce added on that.
This for Drake, no. And this is the only reason I say that because it translates to people showing up to actually see him.
The shows.
Like there are some people who are like, yeah, we doing this, we get numbers, and I was like, yeah, but your show wasn't even sold out.
Nah, Drake be
moving. You're doing club dates still. I know you're not moving all these units.
Yeah. Drake be moving them units, bro. I'm gonna be honest.
Nothing wrong with club date. Nothing wrong with a club date. But, you know, don't tell me when you show me these plaques and 4 billion streamed and
Nicki,
you're doing walkthroughs and your engagements are getting canceled because there's not enough tickets sold. All right. You got something, you know. You tell me.
Something ain't right.
Yeah, something you know, like I said, you can buy streams, you can buy Instagram followers, you can buy, you know, you can do things to make yourself seem more successful than you are, but you cannot force people to come to your shows and pay $150 for a ticket.
You can't cop selling out an arena, bro. That's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. Drake be selling out arenas around the world.
Can't be mad at that. You don't think Yasiin Bey wish he could sell out arenas? He might not even care.
If he would show up, he would sell out a lot of stuff.
He might not even care. I know the last two Black Star concerts that was supposed to be here were both canceled.
Right.
And I had tickets to both of them. Drake ain't canceling. He going to show up. It might not be a show to your liking. He might not get up there and you know what I'm saying, tap dance around the stage like you want him to. But people are going to pay to come see.
The boy going
to
move units.
They're going to pay to come see whatever he decided to do. If he going to have a blank stage and he just walk around it, it's gonna sell out, and ain't nothing you can really do about that.
Nah, Drake is one of them ones. If we keep it in the buck, he's moving those units.
Yeah,
because it shows to Jay Moore's point in them ticket sales. They coming out to see homie.
That's a fact.
Yeah, he's like that as it comes to that. I got to give it to him.
You know, and it doesn't take much for people to get cold on you and not want to come see you. You know, especially. Lord.
And people still going to see her. No matter what kind of BS she on, we had that conversation too.
What I'm talking about, like, you might have been, you know, I always tell people, it's like, when you want to see how quickly people move on from you is, you know, bring up a, I can't even say magazines anymore because maybe people don't look at magazines, but like, if you look at who was at the BET Awards 5 years ago, some of those people, they couldn't even buy a ticket to get in this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's how quickly it goes. Those people, like, speaking about somebody like the baby who was on top of the game.
Yeah.
And I don't think that all has to do with him talking crazy at that festival about the community.
Nah, because it wasn't even that extra.
You know, and then it just hit a
very
point.
Very funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just got to a point where people weren't into his music like that. I remember he was on stage at the Grammys just smiling his ass off for a performance. And now, like, once again, he probably had to buy a ticket to go to the Grammys this year if he wants to go, or if anybody's even, if they even got a seat available for him. It's that quick. And, you know, everybody chases fame so hard. But, you know, like, the thing is, I know it sounds crazy, but, like, there's a difference between being famous and great. People who are great, like, you know, maybe it doesn't create, it's not your version of what you consider to be successful. But like I said, it was like a year or so ago where I worked with DJ Metronome for a concert at the Vogue with Scarface. And here it is, somebody, Scarface, this is basically a 50-year-old rapper.
Legend.
And can no opening act.
Still sound the same, too.
You know, even after all the things he's been through, we've given Scarface his flowers. But we go see Scarface because he's great.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So that right there is a testament to...
Scarface probably ain't had a record on the radio since My Block.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
That's a testament to his point about greatness versus being famous. And I said openly, if he took what he just did, I don't care. It don't got to be nothing more than what Scarface did on Tiny Desk. It don't have to be arenas. If he take that to locations, I will pop out to go see that. Just what they did. I don't need no more than that.
Juvenile is actually touring his Tiny Desk.
Bro, I would go see that. 100% of Scarface came to Jazz Kitchen, we in there.
Just like y'all went to go see Little Brother.
Yes.
They're not particularly famous, but we know them as being great.
They got great music.
Hey, listen.
And speaking of, you know, Drake's rivals.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Oh.
You
know I mean? Oh.
His
inspirations.
Yeah. Yeah, influencers who don't really agree with, you know, the route that he took.
One of my homies from college told me that's the corniest comparison ever. I said, bruh. And he's a Fonte fan.
What's corny comparison?
The concept that Fonte influenced Drake. I said, bro.
He said it.
I said, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I said, fam.
It's in the documentary.
You're the Fonte. You're a Fonte, a little brother fan. So I know that. I'm not trying to play him on that.
Like, did he not hear Comeback Season?
Bro, that's what I said, dog. I said, you have to go back and listen to that early Drake. It's like, there.
Comeback Season, he has the Fonte flow.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the reference point. Saying. It's there.
Yeah.
He said it out loud and it's there, bro. It's not a myth. Like,
he copied my whole fucking flow.
Bro, I shared a clip of Math Hoppe. He was like, Mike, that ain't it. That ain't it. I said, bro, what they're telling you that it's it.
I mean, your own ears should tell you that it's it. Like, all you have to do is go listen to that album.
Shout out to little brother, man. Hey, Terry, can we shout out the partners real quick, bro?
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
So, good conversation, man. These are... You know, you get these good conversations going. Appreciate you, brother, for sparking off some dope conversations, Jack.
No problem, man.
Y'all know brother Umar Johnson, right? Do you know him?
Yes.
The Prince of Pan-Africanism. Yeah.
There we go.
You got that school yet?
I think it's to the school.
I think he got it. Don't know. Yeah, I think he got it.
Consciousness before Coochie.
That's a band.
Yeah, damn lie.
I ain't seen that. Said.
He's lying. He's a fat Faison liar.
He's a fat Faison liar.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I ain't seen Nan Desk in the studio. I mean, in the school, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. So, look, this is why I brought up Dr. Umar Johnson. Because he said on a Joe Budden podcast,
okay,
Eminem could never be categorized as the GOAT in hip-hop because he's white, and white people didn't make up hip-hop. So, this has been floating around. I saw two people stand up and actually say that this was bull. They wasn't rocking with it. One of them was Tony Yayo.
But that's his man.
But I still believe Tony Yayo when he said that, outside of him having a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Cassidy came out and says that Eminem knows more about hip-hop than most, like, the average black person.
First of all, it is very clear. Eminem is ahead.
I was about to say, I agree with Cassidy when he says that.
If you start talking hip hop history and like the way
Redman is his favorite rapper.
The way he talks in reverence about Tretch from Naughty by Nature,
bro,
is crazy. Like, you know, when he talks about like, I don't know how I could never do that. You know, he like Eminem would not put himself as the GOAT.
So let me ask y'all this.
But the reason he's not the GOAT has nothing to do with him being white.
That's what I wanted to ask. So I'm going to come to you first. I want to hear about the part about him not being able to be the GOAT because he's white. And then you can expand on what Cass said about his knowledge, because as I thought about it, thinking about Eminem for who he is, that statement don't sound too far off to me. Go ahead.
About him being the GOAT?
No, no. About the part about him being the GOAT and how stupid that is because...
I think you're referring to the part him saying that he has more knowledge hip hop wise than the average
black person.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think that there's pretty true, actually.
Think about it
for the most part, especially in today's era.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, people just like what they like. But
he's a student, man.
He's a student of the game.
Yeah.
And it's evident in the way he delivers his music.
And when he gets on, whenever he wins an award, he has a list of people. Like, he has never said, I was here and I'm like, because of me.
He always reaches back.
I remember like MC Shan.
Pause.
And then like, Eminem replied to him with like a stack of MC Shan tapes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, he's like, buddy is. You know, for what all the, and the thing is, I've been critical of Eminem's individual work.
We all have.
But absolutely. I have never really been critical of his hip hop credentials and his and where he stands and how he gives it up for the legends of hip hop and his influences. I think that's always been the most admirable thing about him, because there are people who are quote unquote rappers and they keep it real and they don't give it up for nobody.
They know nothing about the history of hip hop. Yeah. So and again, Cassidy said the average.
Yes.
Everybody here is probably above average as far as that's concerned. You know what
I would
saying?
Say that. I would say so.
But a lot of the newer cats, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever, they don't care nothing about the history of hip hop.
Yeah.
They just want to hear somebody some party up or some whatever is gonna make somebody move. Or
why was party up the record?
Not party up as far as the record.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying the energy. The energy, not
we,
party.
We got you.
But or something that's going to be pop, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because listen, that's what's popular. There we go. But for somebody to dance to on TikTok or to tour one of these Bonnaroos or whatever they go to.
With that being said, though, coming off the Drake discussion, is Eminem a rap hip hop artist or is he a pop artist?
Well, Eminem definitely made that crossover to pop artist.
Yeah.
I mean, his first joint was Slim Shady.
It's
a pop record on TRL. So if you heard that song first, which I did, I had no idea Eminem was going to be the artist he was. I was like, man, who is this corny dude? And then when I listened to his album, I'm like, oh, he can actually rap, though.
He can rap. I'm not taking that away from him.
Yeah.
But
he's a pop star, yeah.
He's a pop star, and I can't listen to a lot of those records today.
Nah.
They don't have the same appeal. So that's why I can't call Eminem a GOAT, just because from the technical aspect, when it actually comes to the art of rapping, he's top tier.
Yeah, you can't out rap.
Here's how I quantify him to Eminem. You know, we're old enough to be able to say what age is wealth in our opinion, because we don't listen to rap for a long time, right?
40 years.
Right, so Eminem doesn't have a slew of records that we'll say I can ride around at ease, or you know,
you did at one point.
He did. Yeah. Now there was a pocket where he had some joints, but what I pay attention to is the MCs that I love and respect, how they talk about him. Like, it's like when I see that, I'm like, Black Thought be showing him love. Yeah. Red Man be showing him love. Method Man be showing him love. All these MCs, top tier MCs, be like, man, homie can go.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? So it goes back to the part about him actually being a part of the culture. I just watch how people respond to him, bro.
I think a lot of it comes back,
he's not part of the culture.
Nah, what it is, a lot of it boils down to and I hate to say it, his fans, his, a lot of his biggest fan base were people that weren't hip hop heads.
Yeah. Agreed.
They just seen a white guy that could rap very well.
So, agreed.
And they listen to nothing else outside of Eminem.
Agreed.
But not to take anything from him, Eminem raps his ass off. Like, if you put him on not one of the beats that he made and not one of them ballad type rap songs that he has, he's going to destroy that song.
True.
He's going to go off.
You but might how
not,
many of those
he might
he
not
have?
Be talking yeah. about a whole lot because I think his whole thing is about being in a pocket and being able to rhyme,
the techno aspect of it. Yeah,
there
yeah.
you go. So you might not like his subject matter, so to speak, and I think that's what kind of takes away from him being the GOAT.
Yes,
but exactly. when you talk about his rhyme patterns and schemes and things like that,
it's very
he can't
intricate.
Be touched.
That's what Cass said. Cass, even now, you know, Cass is quick to be like somebody can rap or can't rap.
Yeah,
even Cass was giving him his flowers.
Cass is from the battle.
He's a battle technician. Rap, you know what I'm saying?
Just like Eminem started out in the battle rap. That's where he got popping at.
Right, right,
and then. He crossed over. So
well, there is a white rapper.
Oh, man.
That has the same credentials
as Eminem?
Eminem. But he doesn't get half the reverence.
I don't know. I don't know where you're going, man.
Macklemore.
No.
Quit it. Quit it.
He does
quit
not that, rap as well as.
I didn't say he rapped as
cut,
well.
Cut it out. Cut it out.
I didn't say he rapped as well. I said he has the same credentials. Mm.
He stole a Grammy from Kendrick.
Now I give you that, but same credentials. Nah,
he actually had a decent album.
Honestly,
though.
What's album what do we know right, other than it wasn't Shop better. And that song about gay people? Well, yeah.
Like
that's 150 comments.
I mean, like honestly, what is I mean, Mac? I mean, he had a song I thought was gonna go. That song Downtown that had Kumo D. I thought that
there was too much going on,
dude.
It was too much.
But
going
then,
on.
Like when the dude came up, he was like Downtown. Yeah, I was like, oh, was that ruined much. The song.
Nah, man. Nah,
yeah, Melly Mel on there.
Yeah, that's what I knew it was going.
I was like, oh, I remember they had this whole.
He reached back though.
He tried.
He tried to reach back. Eminem,
I mean, shout out to him for reaching back and actually putting his hip hop heroes on the record.
Those aren't his heroes.
Who are you to say?
I'm just a person, man.
You know what messed up Macklemore? He actually ain't as corny as everybody thought he was.
It's Thrift Shop.
That could be true.
And I'm like serious. Thrift Shop. I came front. I didn't act like I didn't like that song.
Before all of that happened, Macklemore was making noise by actually being a dope artist.
Yeah.
And then when that album came out and you had Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City at the same time, you can almost blame the Grammy board
for messing it up
for messing
him.
Up his career.
Messing it up for him. Yeah.
For messing up for him. Because he could have really still been out here. But everybody was like, ain't no way y'all gave that award to that man.
Low key, he definitely you know would have still, he still would have had a wave.
But
that's true.
I think he would have been cool if he did not overcorrect.
You got to explain.
Well, I think he kind of felt like that. And him maybe being a student of hip hop made him feel like
that.
You do. But you have to understand, he's a white artist in hip hop.
Yeah.
And he knew better. He was like, man, ain't no way my album was better than Kendrick's.
I don't care if it was or wasn't. I got this award.
Yeah, he
bro, but he
and
said,
I'm a stand
yeah, bro, what,
stood
on. He it, said it, though. He was like, all right, I know. He knew, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that, but guess what? I got the award.
And the Grammys have been trying to make it right ever since.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah,
and the game, Gabe Kendrick,
maybe. Macklemore took them
straight. Stop!
Don't do that! Don't do that! I thought I just heard what he said. Don't do that!
Say it
don't
again.
Do that.
They gave Kendrick, you know, the makeup Grammy.
Don't do that! Don't do that!
Once again,
oh, what? Hold on.
He talking about.
No, I don't think To Pimp a Butterfly. I think
he talking about what you call it?
Mr.
The
Morale.
One that just came out.
No, damn. I think he's talking about.
No,
was
no,
it
no,
damn?
No.
It's
about the big steppers. He's saying Mr. Morale.
Some the big steppers. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, well, Eminem.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, Eminem is a GOAT. He's one of the legends, and Cass vouching for him to me is big. So salute to Cass for even saying that, because Cass will diss anybody or say anybody is trash. So yes,
ain't too many people
excluding himself.
Ain't too many people gonna jump out there and diss Eminem.
Facts.
Other than people that really can't rap
or people that really know him
or the
true
game. Or the
true.
Game.
True.
Yeah, Game or Joe Budden.
That Game one, that was really stupid.
Game literally on his first album said, Eminem just murdered me on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, then if you fast forward, he dropped the EP with 65 songs from Hit-Boy that I can't even remember. So let's go ahead and get into more of these topics. Let's talk about artists that are in hip hop that moonlight. Now we know what moonlight means, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now you dabble real quick, you get in and out. It might be a second job. That's usually the concept. So I saw there's a post that he shared in our topic suggestions. It says Chameleonaire is one of the most successful rappers out of Texas. Mm-hmm. He went multi-platinum, didn't curse in his music, made millions.
Not on
off,
the second album.
On the second, I got you. Made millions off ringtones, won a Grammy, retired before 30, and invested in tech. He got in and he got out. Now, the concept of the moonlight is sometimes as creatives, people tend to, you know, shy away from people that do this because it's more about getting in and getting out and less about, you know, putting out product or something that's more, you know, more value to the society or something that's more artsy, if you want to call it. We can name plenty of artists that have gone through this before, but I think there is a correlation with that because sometimes as creatives, you know, that when you really care about the art form, sometimes you want to see people get in and stay in and actually help advance your culture. On the other side to that, there are people that could say, yo, Chameleonaire came in, did what he's supposed to, did what he wanted to do. He was a successful creative, got some money, flipped it, generational wealth. He's good. So I think there's a dynamic there that can be talked about. How do you feel about that? Because sometimes I feel like people will look at it like, well, the moonlighters really just kind of got in, got a little bit of something, and got up out of there. Like, they used the culture for what it was and got up out of there. Do we care too much?
Look, man, if you're a rapper and you catch one, you know, you got to be thinking, okay, it's 1459 now. Mm-hmm. You better have some sort of retirement plan set up. Mm-hmm. You better think about what else you can do.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that, you know, because if you're expecting to be at the level of when you catch your, like, say you just catch a hit.
Right. Right.
That's not going to be your life.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Just it's a situation to where you better either it's sort of like when you're in the NFL. If you're a running back in the NFL, you got till 30. And that's how a lot of you hip hop artists are.
Mm.
You know, now maybe football and rap aren't the same because, you know, you can rap into your 50s and 60s as long as you haven't done anything too crazy to your brain with, you know, just being out here, maybe too much drugs, too much alcohol, whatever. Everyone, like I've called hip hop high school before.
Right.
And I don't even think this analogy applies as much anymore just because of how quickly things move with technology. But it used to be like if you were a rapper and you caught a real successful wave, you had 4 years. And then after those 4 years, you know, basically you're going to be talking about, man, remember that time senior year? And you're going to hope people will still want to engage with you based on the success you had in those 4 years.
Damn, homie.
You know, so think about
the man, homie.
You know, you can say whatever you want. I think this is like the second time I brought out Ja Rule here in this show, but Ja Rule did enough in his 4 year period to where, like, if him and Ashanti say, hey, we coming to town, people gonna go.
People going, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nelly did in 4 years. I think maybe he got five in there, you know, five or six. You know, he maybe stay a little bit longer than he was supposed to, and, you know, for the way the game is set up. He was able to create a situation to where, like, okay, he can work off that nostalgia, you know, and he, you know, he's tried other things, you know, with the clothing country. And
Yeah. But here's the question. I mean,
he's still out here, though.
He's still out here
representing the country. I think the difference is with Chameleonaire, he got in and literally got out. Like, he's done. Like, you haven't heard about him coming to nobody's town.
That's the part.
Or nothing. He got in, got his money, put his money in the tech, and moved on. Now, it could mean that maybe he was smart and knew once he dropped that second album that I don't think they really rocking with me. He might not have had the love for hip hop like that.
Boom. That's,
you know what I'm saying? It might have just been one of them situations where he was trying to get to the money. He seen he got to the money and pivoted and got up out of there rather than just ended up being a washed up artist, so to speak. So I think he's removed from the culture as far as being a feature in the culture.
Right.
I think he still takes in the culture because it's a part of him. But it may be one of them situations where he recognized, I don't think they really rock with me like that.
So you could say he's not moonlighting. He's not a hip hop artist in moonlight. He might be a tech investor who moonlights as a hip hop artist. Yeah,
because Nelly, the Nelly example that you used about Nelly, probably, you know, we'll call it 4 to 6, where he really was popping St. Lunatics all the way up until whatever. Nelly's still part of hip hop's culture. Nelly's still out here performing, still out here doing shows.
He's opening for Janet Jackson when she comes back.
Thank you. He's doing he'll do a feature here and there.
Like was Nelly, top three artists at one point in time.
That's what I'm saying. But he's still, even at this stage.
And he wasn't three.
He's not a tech person. Like, Nelly's still a part of hip hop. The Chameleonaire example is very good because that's somebody that literally got in and literally got out.
I think, Terry's point. I think part of that is because, like, he saw what it, he might have saw what it was where he was at the top of the game, had, you know, his song was everywhere, won that Grammy, and saw how much money he made from, you know, multi-platinum sales,
right,
and ringtones,
right,
and then saw what it was when he got into the tech space. It was like, why would I spend my time on this?
Boom, that was my point.
Go ahead, B.
I think the difference between all the artists that you mentioned and him getting in and getting out is he doesn't need the money.
No, but Nelly and he doesn't rap to eat.
Yeah, Nelly and them go tour and all that because they that's how they make their money.
Right.
And they need to keep feet in that fund.
That's true. But you can insert a 50 Cent who got a lot of money off Vitamin Water, who just went on a
massive world tour.
Tour for his first album. You can talk about Jay-Z, who is hip-hop's first billionaire.
True.
That is still doing it. He just dropped a song last week with D'Angelo.
True.
A song?
Come on now.
I was about to say, that song is a little...
Well, I mean, but he's still doing it. Yeah. What I'm saying, he's still doing it. Nas, he's still active. Chameleonaire could have recognized, I'm not really an artist like that. And he wrote that Texas Wave because him and Paul Wallenham was... They was clowning. It was one point in time where they were together.
Yeah.
And before Chameleonaire hit the mainstream and Pow Wow 2, they had already went their separate ways.
Yeah.
So they got a whole catalog of stuff that people probably ain't even familiar with.
What do y'all think about the concept of just, even if you take Chameleonaire out of it, right? And we look at the concept of just people that moonlight versus the people that stay embedded in the culture.
I think that
is there a different respect level there? Like, just take Chameleonaire. Chameleonaire was just an example, but is there a different respect level for that?
I think that's the name of the game today. You can't just come in and just be about the music. Yeah,
okay.
That's going to be the vehicle to get you in the game.
Right,
and then you turn that into merch. Then you turn that into your show.
Right,
and then you get on TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you just find the ways to keep fueling the machine. So when you spoke about 50 and his tour, I think 50 has so many different branches tied to him right now with the television and all that stuff that he might use that money from the show to feed the machine.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's doing shows to keep the vehicle moving.
So is it fair to say that we all are aware that the concept of someone that is a quote unquote moonlighter in hip hop, they're going to be looked at different unless they just have a legendary, beyond legendary run and then something happens to them or it's a guy, you know.
Now, I think I turn my nose up more so at the artists that moonlight in hip hop that aren't hip hop. If you weren't ever in the culture per se, or so to speak, and you just came in and everybody's like, oh, they hip now. And they came over and did it and then they jump out.
Or you turn your back on it when you're like for instance, Post Malone.
Right.
When he came in the game, White Iverson was the record that, you know, blew him up, and that was a quote unquote hip hop record.
So he was definitely somebody that was moonlighting because he was doing dropping little corny songs
online at first, and then he
pivoted to hip hop.
Good point.
And he pretty much jumped right back out.
Yeah.
Now that's the more so the moonlighting that I think is weird and fake. Because
you're Miley Cyrus, if you
there
will.
We
you
go.
Know what I'm saying?
There
that
we
type,
go.
That type of artist. Somebody like Chameleonaire who was, you know what I'm saying? He was Texas hip hop. He's one of the, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that you look at and be like, nah, he was for real in Texas. And then he got mainstream.
Yeah.
Once he got mainstream, he is like, I think I'm kind of cool on this mainstream stuff.
Right.
And pivoted that way. It wasn't like he left and was like, well, let me jump on this other music wave. Because who's to say he can't invest in something else just because he's a hip hop artist? If you come in as a music artist, you decide to be like, well, I want to be a hip hop artist because I feel like I'm gonna get more traction over there, and then come over here and get the traction, and then denounce it and jump back over. Now that's a little different.
You know what? You made a. I'm coming to you, B. You made a very good point, and it, this actually illustrates exactly what we're talking about when you brought up Post Malone and then he co-signed with Miley Cyrus. That right there is way worse. That's way worse because they're literally dabbling in.
They're like cosplaying.
They're hopping. Hip-hop. They're hopping genres to use whatever works at the moment. That's way worse in my
opinion. They're being pop artists.
I was about to say. Yes. Talk about Drake.
Yes.
They're being pop stars.
Bro, you. That's it. What you just said is it. That's the epitome of this conversation that we're talking about. Because they really don't care. But they're not really here for that.
And a lot of it is the consumer's fault, too, because they allow it to happen. They go out and they purchase all this stuff
right
when they do that. And then, you know what I'm saying, they might jump back over to whatever they were doing. And it might slow down.
Right.
And it gives them, you know what I'm saying, well, maybe I should try the hip-hop thing again. Like, if you got to tell yourself, maybe I should try the hip-hop thing.
That tells me everything I need to know about you.
You ain't hip-hop. You ain't part of the culture, essentially. You're just doing it for sales and for stats and for, you know, that's totally different. That's a different type of moonlighting versus, not, yeah. versus I think, what Chameleon Air was.
Jump in, B. Yeah,
but there's a whole lot of artists that have done exactly what you just, I mean, because, I mean, can we put Justin Timberlake in their bag?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like,
think Justin came over like that?
No, he came up. Hip hop and R&B.
Who produces?
That's who catapulted him to stardom.
His first joint had the clips on it.
Yeah, so.
Produced by Pharrell.
And then, you know, that it's not working for a minute, or you want to try something different, and you start shunning hip hop or whatever. So
next thing you know, you the man in the woods.
Yeah,
so. That's fair. Jay Moore hate that album too. He bring that mug up all the time.
My thing is, even if so, like, I wouldn't even be mad at Justin Timberlake if he kept it real.
Yeah, I'm trying something different over here just because it's more money over here.
Or not even necessarily that, because even when he was on the Mickey Mouse Club, you could tell he had a little bit of swag about himself.
Uh-huh. Not as much Tennessee. As Ryan Gosling.
Nah, he didn't. He's from Tennessee. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? He started out with NSYNC, of course, who their manager is the one that pretty much
put him
found
together.
New Edition.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean,
let's clear that up. He didn't find.
Wait, what you talking about?
No, his Lou Pearlman.
Oh, Lou Pearlman. Never mind.
Yeah, Lou Pearlman
right.
saw.
I'm thinking about the dude with the captain hat on. You're right.
Yeah, that's Maurice right. Starr. Yeah, that was a different tree.
But, like, his first, if he kept on with that whole thing when he went solo,
yeah,
instead of backpedaling at the end with that. The Man in the Woods joint. Yeah. And also, if he hadn't have been on that, not backing Janet Jackson during yeah. that performance. There yeah. was a few other things that involved him with being yeah. fake, so to speak.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And plus that
so
story.
I don't necessarily
Brittany just told that about when he met you.
Hey,
yeah, I don't think he's in the same pocket as
Post.
A Miley or a Post. No. There's hip hop artists that do it because they aren't hip hop, so to speak.
Yep.
They come in, they get one flash in the pan and they want to pivot immediately. You know what I'm saying? So that's moonlighting in itself too. Because you just here to get a bag and go on about your business.
Lone just made a point in the chat. He said there's a whole section of non-creatives that are fake creatives that try to just get to a bag.
So when you talk about artists that come in and pivot immediately, might ruffle some feathers.
Here we go.
All right. Speak on it.
But can you say that about Nicki?
Nicki jumped on that EDM wave real heavy.
Yeah. I mean, instantly though.
Yeah.
You know, she came.
Real heavy. Yeah, but you know, it's crazy.
It's crazy because she was actually with Gucci before she was with Lil Wayne.
Nicki
so that's
still
totally different.
But Nicki still though.
And I feel
there's
like
there's more hip hop at her
Nicki,
core though.
Nicki is a pop star as well.
Very much so.
You think Nicki's
but
pop star
I
is?
Look at it like, cause I don't know if
hip hop
is performative,
though,
but like when she was about to do Starships and it's like I don't perform that song anymore.
Yeah, her most known songs are all EDM dance
pop
tracks.
Records, yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Like real talk.
That's where she gets her real money.
But at the same time, when I saw like the crowd of people who was there, I was like, "You might
that's
as well."
That's what they came here
to
see.
They came here to see. They didn't came to
right, come. Right.
And here you see you do your verse for Monster. They want to hear that song when you were singing about Bud Light.
But
in her
okay. defense, there was a pocket of time. This is why we don't have the same type of R&B as like we had at one point, because all the R&B artists pivoted to that EDM. Think about it. Around that same time that Nicki was on that EDM wave,
yeah,
you Usher. Had Usher,
yeah.
Neo, Chris Brown, Kelly Rowland,
that's fair,
Rihanna,
that's fair,
a few other people. The main people in R&B were doing EDM.
You just named all pop stars.
Yeah.
But they were R&B artists.
Yeah.
And they pivoted over to the other side. And all their albums during that time period was EDM.
Yeah, Vegas Usher is a pop star.
He don't even do all that in Vegas, though.
Yeah. But I guarantee
I'm just saying how it's received.
Well, yeah.
But I guarantee you, at the Super Bowl, he is going to do OMG.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. You can't get off the stage.
That's a jock jam.
Yeah, he better. It's going to be a lot of. I get what Lone's saying in the chat, man.
Yeah. What'd he say?
He said. At least, Nicki and a lot of the people that we're naming, they were artists initially, man. So they've always been artists. They're not about to just flip from being an artist to an accountant.
That's what I meant by
the core. At her core, I feel like Nicki is an MC. First and foremost. Mm-hmm. Now, what pivot happened after that? Cool. But at her core, and what I think about her first when I hear about her, yo, Nicki's an MC that maybe did some EDM. You see what I'm saying? It's not like she just dabbled in being an MC and was like, bet, I'm about to just take the bag and go to EDM. She's been an MC rapping, freestyling, developing all that up to the point where she could be popular enough to try to dibble and dabble into the EDM.
All right,
see what I'm saying?
All right, so when I'm taking off, and I'm speaking for Long right now, just because he's not here, he can't speak for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's stating moonlighting can still be an artist trying other things, but not necessarily being an artist and then deciding to not be an artist altogether.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I think that's what he means. I don't know. But to your point, what you said earlier, Millionaire could have been about that life from the beginning.
Yeah.
And decided, well, I got the money now to invest in this stuff, and he don't have the love for the music no more.
Okay.
And just left it all the way alone.
Let's take it all the way. We think about Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Okay. Queen Latifah came in, Native Tongues.
Yeah.
You know, dope album, Natures of a Sister, you know what I'm saying? Black Rain, killing it. You know, but there is a section of society that's like, oh, Queen Latifah rapped? Because they know her as Khadijah.
Yeah.
And then they know her from The Equalizer.
Yeah. Latifalizer.
Yeah. You know, yeah. They know, you know, they know her as Dana Owens, the jazz artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there could be, you could say she was moonlighting. You could say Will Smith.
But they're still involved in the arts.
I can give you somebody right now who's moonlighting as an artist. Cardi B.
Yeah, Cardi B hasn't put it out. She's 6 years.
I'll take that.
Somehow she's still famous.
Yep, I'll take Cardi B.
Yeah, because
she put out.
She's famous because of her. She's a personality.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She ain't start out that way.
Yeah, she did. She did start out.
People have always been writing her records. Hold on. I know she was the scripper and all that in the reality shows. But what I'm saying is, when she got to her apex, Grammy nominations, Grammy wins. She was at her apex. She's a rapper. Now, everything since the last, how many years it's been? Y'all said
6 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that after that. Yeah. 100%. 100%. Because I ain't heard nothing. But the thing is, like, is she a rapper? Or is she really an artist? If somebody is giving you these records to perform, how can you really say that you're an artist? You're moonlighting as a creator. Oh, that's a good one.
Were the Jackson 5 artists? Because they didn't write nothing. They didn't write "I Want You Back." They didn't write ABC.
Lone, I see you, Lone. He said Blueface's ex-girlfriend. That is a good one. Yeah, Krishan. Yes.
Well, that kind of goes.
That's a good
that
one.
That kind of goes back to. That kind of goes back to. The common artists, or so to speak, artists right now, they're in it to get a bag and get out. And it's easy because it's hip hop, because you don't have to know how to sing with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference if you're an artist and you know how to sing, but you don't know how to write songs.
Yes.
But you can sing those songs that somebody writes.
Yes. So
if you don't know how to rap, somebody can coach you on how to rap, and eventually it's going to sound cool behind this beat.
Yeah.
But you're not really a hip hop artist. That's why it's easy to get into hip hop and then jump out whenever you're done, because you don't have to really know nothing about hip hop, because somebody can coach you on how to rap. You can't be coached on how to sing if you can't sing.
And so many of these artists that we talk about in the bedroom, the people that go viral.
No, I was about to say, where you going?
My ears peaked up too. Don't do that.
In the bedroom.
Come on, get your mind out the gutter.
You old Tiger OnlyFans, brother?
Get your mind out the gutter.
What Terry just described is what we allude to every once in a while when we talk about the people that go viral. It's not about having a specific skill set. It's about the right place at the right time. Are you able to be coached to be able to make the mirage that you're an artist, get that bag and get up out of there? That happens all the time now. You see what I'm saying? All the time. Right place, right time. Boom. Let's coach them up, get that bag, and we out of there.
I mean, it works in R&B too.
Yeah, I mean, it's modern day Milli Vanilliism.
You don't really have to sing no more. You don't have to really hold a note or whatever. You can just go in there. Yeah, so it's happening there too. It's
just not as much because you can hide behind somebody else's lyrics easier than you could hide behind somebody else's penmanship or singing, so to speak, because you can get caught up actually not knowing how to sing.
100%.
Like it'll work the opposite effect of what it does for T-Pain. Like, people love the way T-Pain sings Tennessee Whiskey right now.
True.
Because they hear he can actually sing.
True.
I seen him in concert back when he was hot and knew he could sing back then because he had a part of the show where there was no auto-tune. I'm like, oh, he can really do this on the piano and everything. But everybody else doesn't know that. So he's not moonlighting that as an artist. He just used that enhancement to make himself kind of stand out, and eventually everybody was using it. But he can still sing, though. He's still an artist at the end of the day.
No, T-Pain is 100% artist.
So he's not moonlighting. Facts. So if these other artists,
he's still here.
Artists, they look at hip-hop, they want to get that one song to be able to get that money off of and then do whatever they want to do. Now, that's a little different.
Because anymore, the people, the consumers, we've been bamboozled.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because people are not selling their artistry anymore. They're selling their personalities.
You know who's one of the biggest? I just thought about this. I just thought about what we're talking about. Maybe I'm wrong. Correct your boy if I'm wrong. But the poster child for what we're talking about was someone that is completely capitalized off this. Now let me know if I'm wrong. Lil Nas X.
Well, he's backpedaling right now. We just talked about him.
Remember we talked about him last week? I'm thinking about what we're talking about in the conversation that we're talking about now. Does that apply? Because if you think about it, fam got in. Now he's back. He running out of tricks.
He's still trying, though.
I mean,
the problem is it's just not working for him.
Okay.
Like he just backpedaled all this stuff he did and apologized.
So it's just that it's not landing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the thing is, you know how there's some people say, well, they hit the button on.
That's exactly what happened there.
This is what they did with him, because I remember I pulled up Pandora. I was like, okay, let's just go ahead and get this so we can have the music outside of my establishment. The first song came up was the Lil Nas X song.
Yeah.
I did the same thing the next night. First song came up was a Lil Nas X song. Somebody hit the button. That wasn't an accident.
Okay. I got you.
Because I remember
it. So it's still popular.
He's still active, though. He jumped in and got out.
That's fair. That's fair. No, that's
the same thing happened that week Drake's album came out.
Yep.
And I remember I hit the button and then, I turned the music on. I didn't hit the button. I don't have that kind of power. the Drake and Sexy Red song hits.
Yeah.
Next night, turn on. Weekend of it. It's not just random with the algorithm way these streaming and these channels. All of it is very deliberate
programming.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's no regulation on it. So somebody dropped off some money and made that happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like when you can go up in these radio stations and make sure nobody's taking payola. Payola's back out here. I'm telling you that right now. You can pay.
Payola ain't dead. So, just move to the web.
So you can pay. You can go up to Spotify with a bag.
That's a bar, Terry.
That goes back to when I was talking about these inflated numbers.
That's what. Yeah, exactly. Because that got two plays out of nowhere because somebody hit the button and said, okay, on this particular channel, make sure it's the first thing that plays.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So when I see some of these astronomical numbers, I'm like, ain't no way.
I know. I feel you. I just think, like we talked about earlier, it's just, there's a section of people.
Drake just translates.
That's all it translates. Yeah. But what you're talking about, 100% happens.
Yeah.
100%. And there's people out there eating off that, so be clear. That was interesting. All right, man. Shout out to the chat if you stuck around with us. We appreciate your support as always. If you see it, like it, subscribe, sign up for it, hit the bell, notifications, check out Patreon, all of that. But that's going to do it for this week. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
In a minute.
Peace.